Do you remember maybe a month or so ago, we had Comptroller Sean Scanlon on, and he was really excited because for the first time, Connecticut was bringing what's called Citizens Assembly on property taxes. Remember that? And he was saying, you know, just get ready. You're going to maybe see something in the mail because we're going to randomly pick people across the state of Connecticut to come together and really try to tackle one of Connecticut's most challenging affordability issues. Well, did you know this week they actually had a kind of a independent lottery drawing? It was conducted by Connecticut Lottery, and they were deciding on who is going to make up this Connecticut Citizens Assembly group. And so joining us now to talk more about this is Joe DeLong from CCM. And Joe, you and I were talking a lot about, first of all, tackling our taxes and affordability at the beginning of the legislative session this year. And coming out of the session, we in some ways hit the mark, but not really, because we put a Band-Aid on something that really needs surgery in our state. And so this idea of a Connecticut Citizens Assembly, you and I never got to connect on this and talk about it. Like I said, I talked to the comptroller, but I'd love to get your take on this and if you think it's going to be effective. So welcome back. Glad to have you.
Melissa, thanks for having me back. I always appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Ditto. So what do you think, first and foremost, about the Connecticut Citizens Assembly on property taxes? Like I said, Comptroller Scanlon was pumped about it.
Oh, I'm very, very excited about it. You know, you're taking an issue that has really spread across generations, that has perplexed elected officials and governors for literally decades. And now we're doing a process that has worked in other countries, has worked some in the U.S., although not been widely used in the U.S. This will be the first really large-scale statewide citizens' assembly on a major issue in the United States. But it's really important because this is an issue that impacts, you know, every city and town, every resident, every homeowner, every renter. It's an affordability issue. It's a quality of life issue. And this really is taking it out of the hands of the elected leaders who have struggled with it and putting it in the hands of the electorate, a representative group of the electorate, of average everyday people, to say, what do you think should be done? How would you like to see this be restructured? You know, where do you think the balance needs to come in? And so I think it's a really unique process. And I think that yesterday was a very historic day.
So this is, in my understanding, is that this is the first time that Connecticut has done this.
It is. It is. There's only ever been a couple of these done in the United States at all, never on this scale.
Interesting.
They have been done, you know, nationwide. In places like France and Ireland, they have held several of them in Canada very successfully. There was one in Washington State. There was one in New Hampshire. They were smaller scale than what this is. But yeah, this is you know, it's interesting. On our 250-year anniversary, this is a really getting back to our roots approach to democracy of putting a major confounding issue, very important issue, right into the hands of the citizens of this state. And across, you know, 6 weekends, they're going to dig deeply into this issue and hopefully come up with a set of recommendations that I think elected officials, people running for governor, people running for the state legislature, are going to have to take seriously and going to have to respond to, because it's going to be the electorate speaking directly to them, not a bunch of advocacy groups.
Right. It's like the version of a town hall meeting, but at the statewide level, essentially. You have people who are making up our taxpayer population who don't belong to an organization or don't belong to a political office. They're everyday people, but they're the ones who are paying taxes and feel like their voices are not being heard or their communities are not being represented as well as they would like it to be. And so the effectiveness of this and the uniqueness of this is pretty cool. And again, we've got Joe DeLong here from Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, again, the state's largest nonpartisan organization of local government leaders. And you guys represent all 169 towns and cities to some regard, and just bringing, again, those local voices to the table. So understandably so, Joe DeLong is very for this idea. And what happened yesterday? How, first of all, how many people are making up this group?
Yeah, so a couple things. Let me back up to the town hall comparison because I think it's important, but there's one very important distinction. Town halls are the people who show up, and a lot of times it's the same people. And a lot of times they're people who carry, you know, a specific agenda or represent. And if you go to town hall meetings, it's usually the same people that show up. This is a random selection process. So this elevates the voices of people who are typically not the ones who raise their hands, who are typically shy, you know, maybe more shy, maybe not as inclined to be engaged, maybe don't have the type A personalities, but very much have something of value to contribute because they are, you know, the core foundation of the state. So it's very different in that way. What ended up happening from a process standpoint, a couple months back, about 240,000 letters went out to citizens of Connecticut all across the state from every corner of the state, meeting the demographics of the citizenry of the state. It's very important that it's a representative sample that really closely matches the demographics of our state. Of those 240,000 letters, there were approximately 2,500 people who filled out a questionnaire and responded and said that they were interested. Those 2,500 people were sent a separate questionnaire to make sure that they could fully commit and really, you know, redefine their interest. Of that second questionnaire, there were about 1,500 people who responded and said, yes, we're all the way in. We want to do this. We want to be a part of it. And then came the randomization of getting that 1,500 people down to 110, because there's going to be 110 citizens in this citizens assembly. And believe it or not, of those 1,500 people, the first randomization created a pool of 50 million different possibilities. That 50 million was then narrowed down even further to about 10,000. That 10,000 was narrowed down even further. And what we ended up coming up with through this whole randomization process, it's all, you know, computer generated and done by experts. So the people who are putting this on, including, you know, myself with CCM, we didn't know the names. We didn't see the names. It's all based off the demographics. It ended up with 40 different combinations of 110 people. And that's what the CT lottery did yesterday. They dropped 40 balls into a lottery machine, went through the same process that they do with security and everything else when they do a regular lottery drawing. And they drew a winning ball that was associated with one of those groups of 110. And so now we have, you know, through a full randomization process, 110 people who are going to participate in this assembly who very closely mirror within, you know, a couple basis points one way or another, very closely mirror the citizens of the state of Connecticut.
Avengers! Assemble. No!
I didn't know how to really say citizens assembly assemble, but that is kind of what we're talking about here. We've now got a group of 110 people across the state of Connecticut who are making up the Connecticut Citizens Assembly, and they're going to be tackling one of our biggest problems in Connecticut, which is affordability. And one of our biggest challenges continues to be, how do we deal with our property taxes? We're talking to Joe DeLong here, CCM Executive Director and CEO. And let's talk about the group that was just chosen yesterday. Again, you went through the whole process of how that happened, Joe. Thank you so much for breaking that down, because you know that's going to be a question of, was this fair? Was it equitable? All of that. So thank you for clarifying. What do you think of the group, though? Do you know, when we say we have good representation of the state, what do we think? Like, let's get more specific a little bit. You don't have to obviously name all 110 people, but, you know, are we seeing people from all the way down in Greenwich, all the way up to Hartford, all the way into areas of Connecticut that people don't even know how to pronounce the names of? You know, what are we seeing?
Yeah. So first off, full disclosure, I have not seen the group. I mean, the list of names exists. I have not gone through the list of names. And the way that the list of names is set up in the computer system, people are identified by a first initial, last initial town, and then a number. So, you know, that was done intentionally too, so nobody could actually look at the list on the front end and start figuring out who people were and, trying to, everything in this process was done to protect the integrity.
I kind of love that, though. So nobody can manipulate whoever has been chosen. I sort of love that. They really are Avengers. Yeah. See? I knew I had it right.
Yeah.
But you know the towns, though. You did say you know the towns, though.
Yes, yes. So the way that it's set up is that to create that representation, that sampling representation from every corner of the state, again, to as closely match the actual demographics of the state as possible. And so, that's everything from party affiliation to whether you are a household owner or a renter, whether you have kids in school or don't have kids in school, what your economic status is, and certainly representation across all of the regions as well. That's why this process was done through what are called sortition experts, who are, people who do this type of work and specialize in it. It's, highly organized, highly programmatic, computer-generated type of programs. And again, highly random. The randomization of it is meeting demographics, but other than that, not knowing who the actual people are, type of thing. And so, we have people from every corner of the state. We have people from all income levels. We have people from all walks of life. There will be individuals on here that will have no barriers whatsoever to participation in terms of, coming to the meetings and staying in the hotels and, getting on the remote meetings. And then there'll be people who maybe come from Alice households or, have childcare issues or have adult care issues or have transportation issues or maybe connectivity issues. And Assembly is set up to make sure for those people that their barriers to participating are taken care of or removed. Because what is really important to this process is making sure that all 110 of these, demographically matched but randomly selected citizens are all able to participate in every part of this process. The one thing you don't want to have happen is have, 50 show up to one meeting and 75 show up to another meeting. And, a few have to leave early to go get their kids and then decisions are made when they're out of the room. So the entire process is set up to make sure that, that anywhere in the drop off rates on these things, historically across the world are very, very, very low. So we're starting with 110. We really believe that we'll finish this whole process with all 110, but certainly we don't believe at any point will the citizens drop below 100. There's just the stakes are too high and everything is being done to make sure that that all of these representatives are given the resources that they need in order to complete this important work.
So, Joe, with such different backgrounds, such different perspectives, I think it's fantastic, obviously. But are you feeling hopeful that, because let's talk about the end game here, right? So the goal is before we get to the next legislative session, we could have maybe some recommendations, some solutions, some clarity on what would be good moves to go forward and actually handle our property taxes better. And at the same time, it's interesting because the state is also doing a blue ribbon commission regarding education spending, which kind of coincides with this because you and I have talked many times about the ECS formula and property taxes and how those two are very related. Ironically, they too have to have a report done by January of 2027 ahead of the legislative session again to bring things forward. But back to the Connecticut Citizens Assembly, how encouraged are you that when you have so many different backgrounds and perspectives that there's enough, I'd say, likeness and understanding that we're not hitting the mark with property taxes, we're not doing the best we can, and that we could have some solutions put forward and maybe see lawmakers actually agree on how to bring our property taxes down?
Well, I'm very hopeful. I'm very hopeful because this is coming from the real citizens that policymakers serve. I'm never particularly hopeful of blue ribbon panels that are usually done for ulterior motives or a way to delay action on things. Here's the thing that's interesting about this, Melissa. Representing an advocacy group, I tell people all the time, there's a real risk for us, and it's certainly a risk that I'm willing to take, that these citizens could come out with a whole lot of recommendations – that I don't like or that CCM as an organization can't support, that's okay. We're still going to elevate their voice because they're the people that we work for. And if they bring out a conversation that we're uncomfortable with, then let's all get uncomfortable together. I think that's really, really important here because what we do know, you know, somebody said, what do you think the success rate of it is going to be? And my answer is, I can't tell you for sure, but I know what the success rate has been by doing the things the way we've been doing them. It hasn't been very successful at all. You know, the problem continues to get worse. We continue to kick the can down the road. People continue to act like it's too hard or it's too difficult, where when other states and other parts of the country do it better and frankly get it right when we get it wrong. And I share with people all the time, you cannot find an elected official that won't agree that we need to do things to reduce property taxes. But yet the very first vote that was cast this legislative session in an emergency certification bill, the very, very first vote the General Assembly took this session had mandate provisions in it that'll raise property taxes. People don't know this, you know, and it's funny. I listened, you know, the governor and these people running for governor, they're out talking about utility rates. You know, and now there's this big push that we're going to hold Eversource accountable and we're going to hold UI accountable. And we're going to do all these things. But what they're not saying is that our utilities in many of our communities are the largest tax property taxpayer in the community. And these people sometimes promote policies that raise property taxes and then want to say that they're going to hold the utilities accountable for our high utility rates. Well, one of the reasons why our utility rates are so high is because our property taxes are so high. Mm. When utilities pay a massive amount of property taxes because of our property tax structure, it gets passed right through to the ratepayer. Mm-hmm. So you're paying the property tax on your home or you're paying it in the rent on your apartment and you're paying the utilities property taxes in your utility bill. And that's a story that's simply just not told.
Not being told.
It's easy to say I'm going to hold the utilities accountable without owning up to the fact that, yeah, by the way, I've also increased their costs significantly by passing through mandates and other policies that put more pressure on property taxes.
Yeah, that's a good point. And honestly, it's a call to action to see, certainly, I mean, it'll be after the gubernatorial election, clearly, is the next legislative session, but it'll be interesting to see if lawmakers actually hear what comes out of the Connecticut Citizens Assembly and what they are saying and if they act on it, especially in a bipartisan nature. That will also be interesting to see. And Joe DeLong, I so appreciate you always making the time for WICC, breaking this down. And like I said, we'll go through this journey together and keep talking about it here on the air and bringing these points, like you just mentioned, even with our electricity bills, bringing those points to our WICC listeners. I really appreciate it.